I invite you, friends, to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Last week you probably saw, he's preaching on the commandments. He's going to talk about the fifth commandment, that's next in the series. But then something happened this week, or actually the week before, where I needed to change direction, and so we're going into a different place, not on the fifth commandment. Deuteronomy chapter 31, we'll read the first eight verses, Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 8. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel, "I am now 120 years old. I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, 'You shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.' Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving, Allison and I attended a Bible conference at Navigator's headquarters of Glen Eyrie in Colorado Springs, which sits right at the start of the Front Range of the Rockies, just north of the Garden of the Gods, if you've been there. Besides the conference, we did some hiking, but for hearts and lungs used to 650 feet of elevation, add 6,000 feet to that, you quickly notice, I'll just say it, how out of shape you are in your 50s, or how much thinner the air is when you're a mile higher than here. That hiking we did reminded me of the time I was 17 when my dad, mom, sister, and I took a trip out west. One highlight of the trip was to visit the Hanging Lake just east of Glenwood Springs. Just glorious. You park right off Interstate 70, start at about 6,300 feet. It's a little over a mile and a half hike up, during which you gain 1,000 feet of elevation. Now, had I hiked this trail a couple months ago, I would be gassed, gulping breaths of air, heart racing, lungs burning, but 17 years old back then, fresh off basketball season, as they often say at that age, I was in the best shape of my life. I remember it vividly. My parents struggling, stopping what seemed to me to be like every 10 feet to catch their breaths. Well, it wasn't that bad, but it was bad enough for this antsy little teenager to tell them, "I'm going to go on ahead of you and see how much longer it is to get to the top, okay?" Okay, sounds good. So I did. I ran up whatever was left of that mile and a half trail. Elevation? What elevation? And then opening up before me was this beautiful hanging lake, like someone dropped a tiny torch lake complete with waterfalls high up in the mountains. Beautiful. beautiful. And then like Clark Griswold, I looked at it for like 5 seconds. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And then started running back. And I found my parents and sister a little higher up on the hike, but not enough for me to say, yeah, it's just around the next bend. So I did my best to encourage them. It's so worth it. It's so awesome. Come on, you can do it. And then I said, I'm going to go ahead of you again. Go before you. Don't worry, I'll be right back. So I ran up ahead to the top again. And I think I did that 2 or 3 more times. It was so much fun. And yes, when they made it to the top, they were so glad they followed and kept at it and got there. And I'm sure my mom is listening on live stream right now and thinking, that's not how this went at all. But I'm the preacher and I get to tell the story. Sorry, Mama. Oh, to be in that good a shape again. Wow, to be able to go on ahead, to go before everyone, even at a high elevation like that. Guess what? That's what God says to us all the time. I'm going ahead of you. I'm going before you. Let's think about what that means for us today. With something like the beauty of Hanging Lake, wow, it's like a little parcel of heaven dropped high up on our earth. And that makes us think of heaven itself, how God tells us, I'm going before you. I'm leading you to heaven. Keep going. You can do it. You can get there. Follow me. I'll go before you. Well, it's also a helpful thing to hear God saying that at this particular time of year, end of an old year, beginning of a new year. I'm going on ahead of you. I'm going before you. We're just 9 days into the new year. How helpful to hear God say, I'm going before you. I'm going ahead of you. Come after me. Follow me. Keep going. I'm right in front of you. You can make it. Come on. Beloved, in this new year, God goes before you. It was obviously what the people of Israel needed to hear as they themselves were at the end of something old and the beginning of something new right here in this passage. What's old? Well, their wandering has gotten really old. 40 years of wandering in the desert gets old really fast, but it's coming to an end. What lies before them? They will enter the promised land to conquer it, settle it, dwell in it, make it their home. That new year, if you will, lies before them. The old year, 40 of them have passed. The new year, generations of them, is upon them. Israel needs to hear as they enter something new that God goes before them. Their leadership, too, has gotten old. Moses' life and leadership is coming to an end. He will not be God's lead representative for Israel much longer. Instead, Joshua will take over. Do you think Joshua needed God to say that I'm going before you? Sure he did. It's written all over these 8 verses we read. Moses stands before the people, tells them, hey, I'm old, and I can no longer lead you. Literally, the word lead there consists of 2 verbs. I can't go out to lead you anymore, and I can't come in and follow behind either. As you might know, if you know the story, Moses, because he sinned very specifically against the Lord, Moses is not allowed by God to enter the promised land. He can see it, but he can't look at it, or he can't go in it. So he can neither go out before them nor come in behind them. But that's okay. Moses is fully aware of that. He's come to grips with it, reconciled to God about it, all is well. And here he is, an old situation coming to an end, a new situation beginning. He says to the people, I can't go, but the Lord God himself will cross over ahead of you. God is going before you. In fact, he will destroy nations before you so you can take possession of the land. God goes before you. Then Moses introduces his protege, Joshua, to the people and says, Joshua also will cross over ahead of you. There's that word again, ahead of you. God goes before or ahead of. And Joshua, God's right-hand man here, Joshua goes before you too. Next, we hear in the passage what the Lord God is going to do to the evil kings and nations in the promised land whose sins had reached its full measure. And then Moses says those repetitive words that we not only hear now, but also later in the book of Joshua: be strong and courageous, don't be afraid or terrified. Why? Because verse 6, the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's another rendition of God goes before you. And then Moses calls out Joshua in front of everyone and tells him the same. Joshua, be strong and courageous. You're taking over. You go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. And then one final time we hear it. The Lord himself goes before you, will be with you, never leave nor forsake you. Don't be afraid or discouraged. God goes before you is woven through this 8-verse passage as something old is finished and something new is beginning. It's a set of verses designed perfectly for the first couple of weeks of a new year. God goes before you, beloved, ahead of you. The words before you come from the word face in Hebrew. And when we hear it used in reference to God, it's God's face. God's face. His panim in Hebrew. God goes before you, ahead of you. And when you add a prefix and a suffix to it, it ends up being a kind of preposition. Lefanecha. Before you. Can you say that? We'll split it up. Lefa, necha, lefanecha. Exactly. Before you. God goes before you. His face goes before you. Ahead of you. Lefanecha. It's all over the place in these 8 verses. God goes, and then that word, lefanecha, before you. Now, how do you know that's true? A couple of reasons. First, here's the first one. God is the true constant. God is the true constant. And all of God's word declares that. All of it. Front cover to back cover. It's declared. God is the true constant. Right here in Deuteronomy, we start at the end of Moses' service, beginning of Joshua's. Moses is out, Joshua's in, until one day Joshua's gone too. But God always remains. God is the true constant. God keeps going before. Well, what about the rest? Start at the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. God goes before, creates the world. Psalm 121, verse 8. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. God goes before you. Psalm 139, verses 5 and 6. God, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. You've gone before me. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. You've gone before me. We keep going. Isaiah 45, verse 2. Listen to the power of the God who goes before you. God says, I will go before you and will level the mountains. Wow. Isaiah 52, verse 12. Listen to this added bonus. For the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. Not only before, but behind as well. Isaiah confesses it just like the psalmist said. He hems us in. And take it now from the middle of the Bible to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. You'd think this God of ours would have petered out by now, gotten tired, heart and lungs burning from the elevation, but more likely tired of his people and their antics. But no, there he is. Revelation 22, we see him seated on his throne, and what does he say? One more time, he makes the awesome claim of his constancy, of his eternal will and desire and determination and power and strength and ability and endurance to go before you, to go lefanecha, to lead you, his beloved church, to be the head of his beloved body, to always go before you. He makes that claim about himself there when he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. In the whole Bible, in all of Scripture, throughout God's Word, from the beginning to the end, he is Lefanecha, the one who goes before you. He is the constant one who goes before you. God declares it throughout his entire word to you. That's how it can be true. And the second reason it can be true is this. Is Jesus. It's because Jesus, God's only begotten Son, Jesus, God's gift to you, Jesus, who came into this world, born as a baby, became one of you, fully God, fully human, the same Jesus is the ultimate one who goes before you. He goes before you. Maybe you've said it before as you stood by a door with a friend or a stranger. You gestured and said politely, after you. And maybe the other person said the same thing. No, after you. We're so polite. You know what God says? I'll go first. I'll take the lead. I'm going before you. Now, before you say something like, well, that's not very polite of him, know this. God doesn't say it because he's impolite. He says it because he knows we need him to go first. Which brings us right back to Jesus. Jesus, while being crucified on the cross, somehow Jesus appeared at the judgment seat of God. He went first before you, but with your and my sins attached to him, and he endured the punishment for your and my sins. He paid the debt of those sins and flooded you with his own righteousness. He went there to the judgment seat before you. He went there before you. God goes before you. Jesus is proof of that. Then Jesus went to and through death itself. He went to death's door, died on that cross, dead in the grave, but then he kept going, raised from the dead, resurrection life teeming through his body and soul. He was the ultimate first fruits, we're told, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep, those who've died. He goes before, he goes first. His turn was first. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, who goes before, then when he comes, those who belong to him. He took the first turn. He goes before you. First unto life eternal, he goes before you. How do you know that God could possibly always go before you? Because Jesus went before you. Jesus, a living, breathing human being just like you. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, took the first turn. He goes before you. That's how you know. He actually did it. God is the true constant. That was number one. And his Son went first for you. That was number two. That's how we know he always goes before you. Now, what do you need to know this about? That is, say it with like this. Say it this way. When it comes to this situation in my life, as I sit at the close of one year and the opening of another, when it comes to this situation in my life, I need to be certain that God goes before me. What is that situation for you? What a great question for a new year. Thanks for asking it. Think about the year before you. Maybe you're dreading it. Maybe it's a year that already has you feeling defeated. Maybe you don't know how you're going to be able to get through it, all 356 days that are left in it. And you're already wondering how you're going to get up tomorrow morning, January 10, just 10 days in. What are you facing? What is going on in your life right now about which you need to hear this at the beginning of a new year and then say it to yourself repeatedly throughout the new year? Lefanecha, God goes before you. What do you need to know that about? Is it a sin you're fighting against and you don't have a clue how you're going to resist it, and the guilt of it paralyzes you, scares you, and throws you right back into that sin repeatedly? Or a challenge you have before you at work, at home, at school? Or a new ministry you're excited about that you've been thinking about leading and starting, but you don't know how to begin? Or a new life in your life, a little one, and you feel wholly inadequate to rear that little one, let alone rear that little one to know Jesus. Or a new life you have to live now, a life where your spouse no longer is at your side. And you wonder how you can even take one more step forward in this new year. Or a new COVID or other diagnosis with a prognosis that doesn't look good at all. Or a relationship that seems all but dead, never to be resuscitated. Beloved, you have to remember, God goes before you. God goes before you. Lefanecha. What good news to take with you into this year and beyond. News good enough to turn your dread and defeat into resolve and relish even. Hope and happiness even. Confidence and courage even. Determination and dedication and persistence and perseverance. Vitality and victory even. For you, because of God, because of God's own Son, Jesus, because he loves you and he goes before you and you love him for it, you may enter this year with hope. For no matter what happens in this year, God goes before you. As we close, listen to a story of how God truly goes before you. A worker for Voice of the Martyrs tells the story, a story that spans over 20 years. He writes this: in 2004, I traveled to Tajikistan months after a pastor named Sergei was shot to death in a small city where he planted a church. And the worker writes, I met his widow, Tamara, and also met the man, I'll call him Samuel, who had prayed for Sergei's salvation. You see, the two men had met earlier in prison while Sergei was serving time for criminal activities. In prison, Samuel, a believer, prayed every day that Sergei would come to Christ. Sergei wasn't interested. Don't waste your time praying for me, he told Samuel. But Samuel continued fervently praying for Sergei. And in time, Sergei did come to know Christ. Sergei, in fact, became a bold witness for his Savior, both inside the prison and then when he was released, he became a pastor. And Sergei frequently visited that same prison to share the gospel with the inmates there. Sergei and Tamara soon planted a church, and it began to grow as Muslims turned to Jesus Christ. But with success, one day came a headline in a local paper: "What's going to be done about Sergei?" Days later, on January 20, 2004, the son of a local mosque leader answered that question by shooting and killing Sergei as he was leading his nightly time of singing, scripture reading, and prayer with the church. As I heard Tamara and Samuel tell me about this awful murder just a few months after it happened, Samuel, who had led Sergei to Christ while in prison, said to me, one day, we will meet this person who killed Sergei because we have a prison ministry all over Tajikistan. And we will be ready to tell him about Jesus. Now, fast forward, beloved, to 2021. Another Voice of the Martyrs worker visited Sergei's widow 17 years later. And Tamara told this worker another chapter of the story, how God always goes before you. She said, eventually, the young man who killed my husband, Sergei, was convicted and sent to prison. And when he was, Christian brothers were waiting there to meet him, just as our friend Samuel had promised years earlier. In time, this murderer was assigned to a cell with a Christian prisoner who had been led to Christ and discipled by my husband, Sergei. He was Sergei's spiritual son, as we say. And soon after, this spiritual son led the mosque leader's son who had killed my Sergei, led him to Christ. In other words, this killer became my beloved Sergei's spiritual grandson as he placed his trust in Jesus. Beloved, how much more evidence do you need that God goes before you? Picture it, won't you? The final chapter in that story will be Pastor Sergei standing worshiping before God's throne for all eternity where he is already. But one day, he'll be worshiping side by side with the man who ended his earthly life. God goes before you straight into 2022. No doubt about it. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much that you go before us, that you tell us, I go before you. Thank you for that. Because there's no way we could go on not knowing that as followers of yours. Go before us, Lord, as you promise. You are the constant one. And Jesus went before us to the judgment seat and to life eternal. You go before us this year. Whatever we face, whatever we're facing even now, 10 days in, go before us. and bring us along with you. In Jesus' name and for his sake.